get you set for NASCAR racing with 2 hours of the hottest hits in country music. The Motor Racing Network's Woody Kane is here with NASCAR news, and MRN pit reporter Steve Poe stopped by to talk a little racing. We'll have features and highlights you can't get anywhere else, so be here each weekend for NASCAR USA on the Motor Racing Network.
The thought of winter coming can be chilling. Knee-deep snow, face-numbing winds, frozen fingers, temperatures below zero. And yet, without a Duralast car battery, it could be even worse. That's why Duralast batteries are tested to perform in harsh conditions. So even if it's 40 below zero, your car can start up like it's 72 and sunny. Duralast, proven tough and only at AutoZone, America's number one battery destination. Get in the zone,
AutoZone. There are several drivers hoping the 2018 NASCAR season will bring some better luck than what they experienced in 2017. Joey Logano, Jimmy Johnson, and Kyle Larson were all early championship favorites last year, but were not able to contend for the title in Homestead. Larson, however, did end the season with some positive momentum and hopes it will carry over into the new year with the help of the new Chevrolet Camaro ZL1.
I'd like to think and hope that we could start out, you know, as good, if not better, with the new car and things like that, and another year as a team together. But you never know, really, until not even to Daytona, you know, probably Atlanta and through the West Coast swing.
And Larson has had some off-season momentum, winning twice in the last 7 days on dirt in a midget car in Auckland, New Zealand. For more, visit MRN.com. I'm Kyle Rickey. This is NASCAR Today on the Motor Racing Network.
6:05, welcome back in the Todd Bromelkamp Show. Welcome to the show, if you're just joining us or if you've been with us for the last couple hours. We've got about another 50 minutes in front of us tonight before 7 o'clock. Alex Kuhn along with producer Kyle Mann, ready for the final 55 minutes. Third and final hour of the program tonight. Plenty to get to, including a discussion of how the NFL would handle the Minnesota Vikings if the Vikings reached the Super Bowl this year. The NFL has never had to deal with a home team playing in the Super Bowl. The Vikings, by the way, would be considered the road team, but there are some advantages to the Vikings should they make it to the Super Bowl. And speaking of the Vikings, we'll have a little fun with our new friend, the Air Force hockey coach from last night. We'll talk, is it Frank Ceratori?
Ceratori.
Right. We listened to him last night talk about the time that he met Santa Claus in a bar with his brother, not Santa's brother. Santa likes his pops. He was using that as a way to complain about the officiating in a Air Force hockey game. But you're going to get a vintage cut from him 2 years ago, and I think Vikings fans will certainly identify with what he had to say at the time and what you're probably thinking in the back of your head as you wait for this postseason to unfold. But it is Thursday, and that means we've got to do Would Ya.
It's now time for everyone's favorite weekly segment.
Would you rather know when you're going to die? Or would you rather know how you're going to die?
But why would you even say that? For shock value?
Can you give yourself a ding?
It's as simple as a yes or no.
Of course you would. Who wouldn't?
Would you?
All right. First question seems pretty appropriate given the fact that they're tipping off at Carver Hawkeye Arena right now. Alex Kuhn, how would you fix the winless in Big Ten play Hawkeyes? I'm going to give you... I'll give you a magic wand right now.
I was waiting for this segment to start. I got the 2 minute countdown, and I thought to myself, "Man, I hope one of the questions isn't how would I fix the Iowa basketball team." I honestly don't know where to start. They need an on-ball defender. They need to be more disciplined defensively. They offensively look discombobulated at times. We had a caller who brought up a very good point earlier in hour number one. Against Michigan, they looked out of control. They don't ever look like they're very much in control offensively. The ball either gets stuck and there's very little ball movement, or they put the ball in harm's way and they move too fast. I honestly would just start by trying to fix one thing, one small thing at a time, and not necessarily look at this year with any kind of expectations. I think a lot of people hope that this team would get to the NCAA tournament. I hate to say it, but that's not going to happen. I think it would be a stretch to think that they can make the NIT at this point. Start with trying to get back to 500, trying to finish the season 500, trying to win five or six games in the Big Ten, trying to win at home, and trying to find some kind of wing scorer to go along with Jordan Bohannon and take some pressure off of him. And I think that right there is where I would start. Find some kind of shooter. Maybe it's not this year. Maybe Isaiah Moss isn't that guy. I think that Joe Wieskamp out of Muscatine could be that guy, but that's a lot to put on a freshman. So the short answer is I don't know. The long answer is start with trying to find another perimeter scorer to go with Jordan Bohannon.
Kyle, fix the Hawkeyes.
I think Alex actually stumbled upon a really good point somewhere in there. The first thing that they're going to have to do is, well, and it's not even going to be on them, the fans have to come to terms with the expectations for this year. I think a lot of people did kind of expect this team to be pretty decent, maybe challenge for a NCAA tournament bid. That's not going to happen. And so fans need to go ahead and ease off a little bit, take some of the pressure off that team. That's gonna be the first step, at least from the outside. But then, I mean, looking at the on-court stuff, where do you even start? You know, the offense hasn't looked great, and they're a little bit handcuffed because it is what it is. We've talked about it before. They're weak in the backcourt in the sense that they don't have a true point guard. And Connor McCaffrey, you know, he was coming in with some unfair pressure on him as, you know, nobody was going to expect him to be a savior, but that team was going to need him to come in and play significant minutes at point guard, and it doesn't appear that he's going to be able to do that. So offensively, you know, they've kind of got an oddly constructed team. They've got most of their talent in the front court, but then their best shooter is, you know, Jordan Bohannon, and they're struggling to get him open. So I'm not a basketball coach. They've got to try to find ways to kind of work from the inside out, maybe go through Tyler Cook more, maybe try to find some way to you know, keep him in the middle and let Bohannon run around on the outside. I don't know offensively. I think the easiest fix is going to be defensively, just really simple things. You know, you've seen the guys just not communicating all that well, getting caught on the backside, giving up just really easy buckets and too many of them. And that leads to, you know, 22-4 runs, 18-3 runs. And, you know, they take themselves out of the game in just, you know, a 4 to 5 minute span. There's a few things that you can do, but they've got to stop putting themselves in 15-point deficits in just a matter of minutes.
The good thing defensively, the good news defensively for this team is there's only room to go upward. It can't get much worse than it's been this season.
Well, that's not much of a silver lining at this point if you're an Iowa basketball fan. Scott Docterman, our pal from thelandof10.com, tweeting that this is one of the lightest crowds at Carver Hawkeye Arena in the last 6 or 7 years when weather has not been at play. Needless to say, it's not much of a home court advantage tonight. There will not be 15,500 people, 15,400, I guess, after the renovation several years ago at Carver Hawkeye. We'll keep our eye on things. That is what, ESPNU tonight, right?
Correct.
ESPNU for those of you Hawkeye fans who may be looking to watch the game on TV tonight. Kyle, who would you hire as the next head coach of the Chicago Bears if you were Ryan Pace? We just got done not too long ago chatting with Chris Emma from 670 The Score in Chicago, gave several options as to possible candidates to replace John Fox. What direction would you go?
Well, for a little while, I thought, and I've been a fan of Jim Harbaugh for, you know, since his time at Stanford. He's just a real fiery guy, comes with a lot of excitement. He's going to make your team interesting, which you can't actually say about a lot of coaches, is that the coach is going to make your team interesting. But with that said, I've done a little bit more thinking, and I actually don't know if that's a good thing. You know, I don't know if you want your coach to be the focal point of the team. And we've seen Harbaugh struggle, you know, whether it was eventually with the 49ers a little bit or even now at Michigan. He's struggled before. He's not a perfect coach. He has his flaws too. I think that the guy I've also been a fan of for a few years is Josh McDaniels has had some success offensively at pretty much everywhere he's been, and now he's spent so much time around that New England system. You know, it's hard to say that, you know, you wouldn't feel good about where he would put the Bears offensively, at least, especially with a young quarterback like Trubisky. You know, they're going to have an opportunity to get an interesting pick in this year's draft. They've got a decent pick. I think McDaniels is the guy I would want to bring in.
No Jeff Fisher? Is he available?
Anybody's a Ditka. Ditka. Bears fans. Ditka. Now, Buddy Ryan's Mike dead, Singletary. Right? So you couldn't reunite the two of those. They hated each other, by the way, but Bears fans' unabiding love for Ditka.
Hilarious, because that's exactly the opposite of what they need right now. And so is Jeff Fisher, quite honestly. They need to go with a young offensive mind. And like I said, it's a copycat league. That's the direction they're going to go. Pat Shurmur has been a head coach previously with the Cleveland Browns. He's done a very good job with the Minnesota Vikings. I'm not sold on him as a head coach. Josh McDaniels drafted Tim Tebow as the head coach of the Denver Broncos. Yeah,
it's hard to ignore.
It is. And I think they're trying to catch lightning in the bottle with him because they hired him way too young. Josh McDaniels was not ready to be a head coach. And I think the conventional wisdom here is neither was Bill Belichick the first time he was hired in Cleveland. Look how that turned out. Neither was Pete Carroll the first time he was he hired in New England.
With the Patriots and the Jets.
Yes, the Patriots and Jets. He wasn't ready. He goes to college for a while. He comes back, and he's a very good head coach. So I think that Josh McDaniels is probably going to be the guy, and it's going to be a big burden on him to put the coaching staff around Mitch Trubisky to develop him, because when it comes down to it, that's everything for a young quarterback. Look at Jared Goff. People see the teams see that type of thing. Jeff Fisher has had Chris Winkie, the former Heisman Trophy winner, but one of the more underqualified quarterback coaches in the league, coaching up their number one overall draft pick. That is their biggest investment. They had somebody who was not fit to be a quarterback coach coaching him up, and he wasn't very good. A year later, Sean McVay brings in his staff. He's an alternate on the Pro Bowl team. So Josh McDaniels, I think, is going to be the guy, and he's going to have to bring some of his quarterback gurus, quarterback whisperers with him to coach this Trubisky guy up, because the kid has talent, and they're going to also need to get some wide receivers around him.
I also heard yesterday that, I didn't know, McDaniels has a brother or a close family member on the Bears staff already, so you're always looking for connections and stuff like this. There's already that connection.
Man, if I were McDaniels or Matt Patricia, I would just stay attached to Bill Belichick in New England as long as possible. But
definitely Matt Patricia.
I think you're starting to see maybe some signs that things are starting to trend downward for the Patriots, especially. And I've seen, you know, the Charlie Weiss, Romeo Crennel, they've gone through coordinators before, but this could be the last wave of guys to. It's not very easy to replace talented coordinators when they leave the program. And Bill Belichick, certainly a great coach, but he has he's had good coordinators around him as well. Okay, on to number three here. Alex, I'm going to start with you. You saw them up close and personal at the Liberty Bowl last weekend. What would you say realistic expectations should be for Iowa State football in 2018?
I think just what they did this year, 7 or 8 wins. That would be a successful season next year. You look at teams that are kind of in the middle upper tier of the Big 12. That's what they're averaging. West Virginia, 7 or 8 wins. Kansas State, 7 or 8 wins. That is the type of program that I think that Iowa State can be in a loaded Big 12. Oklahoma and Oklahoma State, I think they're going to be near the top. I don't think TCU is going to go anywhere. They've taken a step back every once in a while under Gary Patterson, but I think they're going to be up near the top. And then you have those middle-tier teams. And 7 or 8 wins would be a great season. If they can consistently do that under Matt Campbell, then I think a lot of Iowa State fans would be just okay with that. It gets a little bit hairy, as we were talking about earlier in the week, when you start talking about expectations as somewhat of a linear process. Oh, well, they won 8 games this year. They should win 10 next year. That's not how this works. They still have some very difficult teams on their schedule, but somehow, some way, they could win 7 or 8 games. It could be successful. Anything on top of that, I believe, would be icing on the cake.
Well, they're going to be, I just had to do a little bit of homework here and see who they're losing, who they're going to bring back. They're going to be losing Kamari Cottonmoya. They're going to lose Alan Lazard. They're going to lose Joel Lanning. But they are going to be, the two that I knew for sure already, they're going to be bringing back a certain running back named David Montgomery and a massive receiver in Hakeem Butler. And so that right there gives me hope. If I'm a Cyclones fan, gives me hope that offense could still be dangerous. Montgomery specifically, he's going to come into next year with a lot of hype. He's going to be one of the best running backs in the nation. And so offensively, I think they're going to be able to figure things out. And then on defense, I didn't have time to scroll through the whole roster. They are losing Lanning. They're losing Cottonmoya, but they're bringing back Jaquan Bailey and Marcel Spears. They're still going to have a talented defense. And, you know, in the Big 12, there aren't that many of those, to be frank with you. So, you know, at the floor, I would say you're looking at 7-8 wins, hopefully. Oh, and with a chance to improve. You always want to improve, and you feel the momentum in that program. You know, depending who the quarterback is going to be, you know, that it could be a dangerous team once again.
It's Wood Jay, Thursday staple here on the show. You can participate at home on the Hertin and Stocker text line, 319-366-1600. Expectations, always fun trying to convince fans that they need to keep them in check. That's not what being a fan is about, but you start thinking, no, 9-10 wins, and then you're grumbling when it's an 8-win season, so we'll see. They do lose an awful lot of talent, though. Alex, I want you to put yourself in the shoes of an offensive lineman. No, not your brother Gabe. I want you to put your shoes in James Daniels' shoes. If you were James Daniels, would you leave Iowa early for the NFL? We found out earlier this week, Josh Jackson, who's going to join us on the program tomorrow, by the way, is foregoing his final year at Iowa for the NFL. James Daniels has not made an announcement yet. What would you do if you were James Daniels?
If the draft board tells him he's a top 3 round pick, probably head to the NFL. It's one of those deals where you can always go back to school, but the NFL is not always going to be there for you, especially for James Daniels, who battled through injuries and bumps and bruises all season. I don't think we saw a fully healthy James Daniels since the first game of the season. So whenever you get an offensive lineman who your health is something that you only have a certain amount of reps in you, if you're going to be a top 3-round pick, I think it's a pretty much a no-brainer to head to the NFL. And we had Chad Lystico from the Des Moines Register on earlier today, and earlier today he tweeted that he thinks that James Daniels will be heading to the NFL. So I would have to guess that would probably be true.
The decision to me for Josh Jackson was really easy because he was solidly in that first round. That's where that real money is. It's where the guaranteed contract is. But for James Daniels, I'm not sure if he's definitely not a first rounder right now. I don't know how hopeful he could realistically be that he's a second rounder. Maybe you're looking about third, fourth, fifth round. But if that's where I'm sitting, third, fourth, fifth, you know, that's the kind of guy who I feel like could really stand to come back and improve a little bit. I think you want to see a little more consistency from him. And gosh, I see what you say about the injury concerns, and maybe, you know, you get out while you can, you go while you can. But in the same breath, if he came back and was healthy for a whole year, you know, that might alleviate some of the issues that teams would have with him. And so he does have some things that he can improve on. That starts with consistency, injury concerns. I think he could come back next year, and that's a guy who could improve his stock a little bit if he could feel more confident about being a first, second, or third round pick. Whereas right now, I think he's more in the back half.
I don't know about that. I think he's a day two pick, isn't he? I mean, you're the offensive line guru.
At this point, probably, because the size and athleticism combo is something that they're not going to overlook, and he shows flashes of being... You look back at the Ohio State game, I think a lot of scouts are going to look at that and say, wow, this kid could be really special, and it takes one game like that, as we're seeing with the quarterback position, to really wow the scouts. So I've said from the beginning, you just look at him and you see an NFL-type build.
Mm-hmm.
He's not perfect. He wasn't fully healthy. But that center position is a very important one at the next level.
He was extra motivated in that Ohio State game, too, being an Ohio native and with his dad having played for that program. And you go back to the conversation we had with his brother, LaShawn, a couple weeks ago. I think he would like to see James in the NFL. And he's a ticking clock to me. He's never been completely healthy. He's had injury issues every single year. When you're a big guy, your body breaks down so easily when you're that big that if you've got the opportunity to go make some money, as you said, the opportunity to finish your degree is going to be there. If I'm James Daniels, it's a pretty easy decision for me. I'm leaving and I'm going to the NFL. Now, that being said, maybe he feels like there's a little bit of unfinished business left. Maybe he comes back. I don't know. If I'm in his shoes, I'm taking the money and leaving for the NFL because I don't think my stock gets much better, and I'd be worried about the next injury maybe being your last. You start talking about those big linemen and knee injuries, and it's hard to get leverage when you don't have legs underneath you.
Todd McShay of ESPN did a mock draft, and he had James Daniels going with the 35th overall pick, so that would be the third pick in the second round.
Yeah, that's... It's time to go, James. Okay, Alex, which wild card team would you say has the best chance of pulling off an upset this weekend? Tennessee is at Kansas City. We found out DeMarco Murray is going to be out. Atlanta has to travel cross country to take on Jared Goff and the Rams. And then you've got Buffalo at Jacksonville and Carolina at New Orleans. Is this too easy? Might be too. Maybe it's too easy.
Are you throwing me a softball up right now?
Well, yeah. Now that I look at the four, I'm wondering if maybe it's not too easy.
I'm going to go with the Falcons, the team that made it to the Super Bowl last year and had a 28-3 lead, traveling cross country to take on the Los Angeles Rams, the youngest team in the NFL who has never really played. These guys have not played in a playoff game, so. I'm going to take the Atlanta Falcons just based on their experience of being there before. I like what the Rams have done offensively this year, but I think their run this year comes to an abrupt halt this weekend.
I'm going to have to go with the New Orleans Saints. First of all, they've been there before, Sean Payton and Drew Brees. They've got Super Bowl experience. And then just you look at the way that team's built up. They rely on a good defense. You always look at that New Orleans offense and you think, man, if they just had a defense, they'd be pretty darn good. Well, they do. And then even over on the offensive side, things aren't really the same way that they used to be. They are led by two really good running backs. Alvin Kamara is one of the most dangerous weapons in the entire league. And then you've also got Mark Ingram, who's been doing it for many years. And then, oh yeah, they do still have Drew Brees, a future Hall of Fame quarterback. They've got a bunch of really good pieces. I just love the way that team's put together. I'm going with the Saints.
Alvin Kamara, who could have envisioned him having the type of breakout season that he's had? Nobody, really?
I'm gonna throw the penalty flag here. We can't go with the Saints because they're the favorite in the game.
Oh, ooh. We're going for underdogs. Okay,
wait. Which wild card team would you say has the best chance of pulling an upset this weekend?
I'm actually looking at an even line here.
I thought they were about a 2-3. What are we picking this on the... It's one of the games we're picking on the Carl and Ernie's pick six. I know earlier in the week, maybe the line has moved a little bit. I thought all the home teams were favorites. I know the Saints weren't a heavy favorite.
New Orleans, 6.5-point favorites.
Okay, yeah, that's...
Wow.
So New Orleans, 6.5-point favorites. Jacksonville, 9-point favorites. The Rams are 6.5 points. Kansas City, 9 points.
I don't think any of these teams are going to win, just for the record. But,
yeah, probably got to go with the Falcons then.
We'll see. That's tough. That going cross-country trip is going to be difficult for them.
What happened to the parity in the NFL? We have 4 wild card games that are almost a touchdown spread.
Well, the wild cards are always ugly matchups, traditionally. But we'll see. We'll have many of them for you right here on KGYM. You can check out the schedule, kgymradio.com. And while you're there, don't forget, vote in our poll question. Brought to you by Emil's Hideaway on 1st Avenue Southeast behind Taco John's and next to the Home Depot. What's the bigger surprise? Drake getting off to a 3-0 start in the MVC, or Iowa getting off to an 0-3 start in Big Ten play? Is it going to be 0-4? The Hawkeyes and Buckeyes are underway at Carver Hawkeye Arena. When we come back, Kyle's going to have an update on that game, as well as the Iowa women as they take on Cedar Rapids native Brenda Fries and the Maryland Terrapins tonight in College Park. Back with more after this.
This is the Xavier Report, presented by Schimberg Company.
The Xavier boys basketball team will be back in action after the holiday break tomorrow with a Mississippi Valley Conference game against Cedar Rapids Prairie. The Class 3A fourth-rated Saints will then host Iowa City Regina in a girl-boy doubleheader on Saturday. The Xavier girls basketball team will go to Prairie on Friday for a rated matchup with the Hawks. The Class 4A 11th-rated Saints will meet the Class 5A number 13-rated Hawks at 7:30 with the varsity contest. The Xavier wrestlers will take part in a double duel at Lynn Mar on Thursday versus the host Lions and Dubuque Wallert. Then on Saturday, the Saints head back to Lynn Mar for their Invitational. The Xavier bowling teams will host Waterloo West on Friday at May City Bowl.
The Xavier Report is brought to you by Schimberg Company. Family owned and serving the Cedar Rapids community since 1918. Schimberg Company, proudly supporting the Saints.
Stock up and save this week during Menards Winter Sale. Keep your windshield clean with Splash Automotive Products. Splash Ultimate Windshield Wash cleans your windshield, leaving a streak-free shine. Plus, it's effective down to negative 35 degrees Fahrenheit. Only $1.98 a gallon. Save now on Splash Ultimate Windshield Cleaner and many other great products through January 6th during Menards Winter Sale.
Save big money at Menards.
Welcome back. 6:30. It may not be going all that great at Carver Hawkeye Arena. Both the Iowa men and women in action tonight. The Iowa men at home, the Iowa women on the road. That game is about close to be wrapping up. I think they're easily in the second half. Anyway, I don't have an update for you, but I know a guy who does. Everybody has to know a guy, right? Well, I know a guy. He can bring you a Midwest One Bank Big Board update twice an hour. Midwest One, where you're the one. Here's Kyle.
The Iowa basketball team's hosting Ohio State tonight, trying to look better than they did against Michigan on Tuesday. The Buckeyes come into the game at 11-4 and 2-0 in the Big Ten, whereas the Hawkeyes sit at 9-7 and already 0-3 in the conference. Vegas has Ohio State as a 1.5-point favorite, although interestingly, ESPN gives the Hawkeyes a 56% chance to win. And at the 8-minute media timeout, things are Ohio State leads 30-22. Luka Garza got the start over Jack Nungey and leads with 7 points, but the Buckeyes are shooting 55% from the floor to start. Megan Gustafson was named the National Player of the Week by the U.S. Basketball Writers Association yesterday. She's currently trying to lead the 18th-ranked Hawkeye women to their second upset over a ranked team in 5 days, but they trail on the road at number 13, Maryland. It was a low-scoring third quarter both ways, but Maryland had a 12-8 advantage, and Maryland now leads by roughly 20 points, 76-51. The Iowa State women had a tough matchup last night on the road against number 6, Baylor. And the Bears are pretty darn tough. They beat the Cyclones by 40, 89-49 after leading 52-16 at halftime. Tonight after the show, we're going to have the UNI men on the road at Missouri State in a situation they maybe didn't expect to be in. Also still searching for their first conference win. We're going to pick up coverage at 7:30 on 106.3 FM, the South Gym, and 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
Oh, 0-4.
Can we have the Pinstripe Bowl back?
0-4, staring the Iowa men's basketball team in the face, and we'll see whether Mount McCaffrey remains eruption-free tonight or whether or not this is Fran's breaking point. Hey, there's still a lot of basketball left to be played. They could still turn this.
Is that good news or is that bad news?
I like the way that you think here. I'm going to say that that's good news. They can still get this particular game turned around. I'm not exactly optimistic, but they could still get this game turned around.
It could happen.
So here's what we're going to be doing when we come back. We're going to talk a little bit about a team that we get accused of ignoring or overlooking too often here in Eastern Iowa with all the Bears and Packers talk. It's the team that actually won the NFC North this year, the Minnesota Vikings. They've got a chance to do something that no team has done in NFL history. And because of that, they could have some big-time advantages if they make it to the Super Bowl. Now, if you know anything about the Vikings, you know that the Vikings in the Super Bowl have not exactly been copacetic in the past. Let's just put it that way. They're 0-4, and a longtime, long-suffering Minnesota Vikings fan had his heart ripped out 2 years ago. I'm talking about our pal Frank Ceratori, the men's hockey coach at the Air Force Academy in Colorado. You're going to hear, I think it's better than the Santa Claus sound clip from last night. That was fresher, but this one is better. We gave you a little bit of a highlight in the open of the program today. Stick around. We'll talk Vikings, football, and more with you next. 319-366-1600. Back after this.
I love my wife, and I really love sleeping with her. I'd like to do it more.
Now that we have Theravent, sleeping with my husband is amazing. In fact, I'd love to sleep with him right now.
Theravent anti-snore strips are getting couples back to sleep together because now there's no excuse to keep snoring. Theravent is clinically shown to reduce snoring using the power of your own breathing. They're now available in stores nationwide, and you can see how they work at Theravent.com. Theravent, the answer is right under your nose. Not intended to treat sleep apnea. Use as directed.
How is it that Pennzoil in your engine makes you feel this? Or how this takes your mind to this? It's because to us, performance is more than just a word. It's the ultimate goal. And whether you do it yourself, or you get your oil changed at a shop, Pennzoil synthetics give you complete protection for top engine performance. Make the switch today.
When a player doesn't like a contract, what do?
They hold out?
They hold out for a better deal. If only you could do that with your wireless plan, right? Well, with the Bring Your Own Phone plan from Straight Talk Wireless, you can get a much better deal. Keep your phone, your number, even your same network for a lot less than you're paying now.
Without the contract.
Or the holdout.
Get the Ultimate Unlimited plan for just $55 a month on America's largest, most dependable 4G LTE networks. Straight Talk Wireless. Only at Walmart. Savings may vary. Video typically streams at DVD quality. Refer to the latest terms and conditions of service at straighttalk.com.
Progressive presents Get Pumped. Inspiration to help you do insurance stuff.
Okay, time out. You're gonna let your budget be the boss of you? Take control with Progressive's Name Your Price tool. Tell us what you want to pay for car insurance, and we'll help you find options that fit your budget. Here's some music to get you pumped. Da-dong-da-dong-da-dong-da-dong-dang-dang. I hear your budget laughing at you. Oh, wait, that's just those kids laughing at me. Ignore them! Da-dong-da-dong-da-dong.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
6:36, welcome back. It's the Todd Bromelkamp Show here on KGYM, along with Alex Kuhn and our producer Kyle Mann, with you for the next 20-plus minutes or so as we all hold hands and sing Kumbaya and try to ignore what's going on with the Iowa basketball teams tonight. The women, that's a tough task going on the road, and top 25 showdown, very tough to take on Maryland in its own building. Ohio State is beating the Hawkeyes right now at Carver Hawkeye Arena on the men's side of things. Now, if you were with us yesterday, we introduced you to a man that chances are you didn't know. His name is Frank Ceratori. He's the longtime men's hockey coach at the Air Force Academy. And this, we still have the clip from yesterday. This was Frank Ceratori complaining about the officiating in the Air Force University of Denver hockey match recently, and I'm like, okay, this guy is he's kind of interesting to me here. He sounds like a little bit of a goofball, and here's the clip that we played yesterday. We still have that.
I never said one word to the guy. Finally, after the fifth or sixth penalty, you got to stick up for your guys. And I clapped three times, and he's looking at me from the other side of the rink, and he didn't hesitate to tee me up. Rather than having the bedside manner to come over, okay, Frank, I got the message. That's enough, you know. But, you know, maybe – hopefully Don Adam will learn with this, work with this guy, and he'll learn this. Hey, maybe some of them never learn. I mean, like, you just never know. Hey, there's three things I've never seen in my life. I've never seen Bigfoot. I've never seen the Easter Bunny, and I've never seen a referee say he had a crap game. You know, so I have seen Santa Claus. I actually met him in a bar in San Francisco. Me and my brother Tony, good dude, Santa, likes his pops.
Okay, so I come across this yesterday on Twitter, and I'm thinking, this is an interesting guy. I've never heard of him before. Don't know anything about college hockey, Air Force hockey, but I'm going to do a little bit of a deep dive here. And then I'm looking around for other videos on the internet. I'm thinking, okay, maybe we've got college hockey Mike Leach here. And I think maybe we do, because I came across this video of him wearing a Minnesota Vikings jacket, and it's at an Air Force press conference for hockey, and I'm thinking, what is going on here? Why is he wearing a Vikings jacket? And then I listen to the clip. This is 2 years old, and it comes on the heels of the Vikings losing to the Seahawks in the playoffs after another very good year for the Vikings. But
was this when Blair Walsh shanked the 25-yard field goal?
I believe that
the
was
Seahawks.
It. Yes.
That this is the one.
Yes. So here is Frank Ceratori, the new best friend of the program. Let's see if we can get him on.
Absolutely.
Here's Frank Ceratori. This is from January 2 years ago. The Vikings. He's a Minnesota native, and I want to play this because I know we've got a lot of Vikings fans here in Eastern Iowa. Cyclone Tim being one of them, who reaches out to us on the Hurtin and Stalker text line all the time. This is the voice of every Minnesota Vikings fan that I know in my life. Listen to the pain and the anguish and the angst. It's a little bit of a longer clip, and it could have been even longer. I had to find some point to cut it off here, but this cat, man, is an interesting dude.
There's only going to be one question today, and I'm asking it. What are the chances of my generation of Minnesotans dying of natural causes before the Vikings kill us? The answer Eric Marsh gave to me very quickly, the answer is slim. Four Super Bowls, two missed field goals by kickers that seemingly never miss. I don't care if the laces were tilted towards the foot. Kick the extra point that gives us 3 points. Herschel Walker. Let's not even get into Herschel Walker. And what's worse, the Packers win. The Packers win. That's like the Vikings losing and the Packers winning, that's like your wife leaving you, but she left you for your neighbor that you can't stand. And then I got to come to work. And I've got Steve Aaron Rodgers Miller, Joe Tom Brady Doyle, Andy Peyton Manning Berg, who is a convert, a Viking convert to the Broncos. He's a Minnesotan. Now, he did it to save his marriage, now which is admirable but risky. Admirable but risky.
It is admirable but risky to change your NFL allegiance to save your marriage. This is an interesting guy, but I wanted to play that because the Vikings are very much relevant as the NFL playoffs get underway this weekend. Minnesota has the second best odds of winning the Super Bowl. And never in the history of the Super Bowl, this is Super Bowl 52 this year, has the city, the team that's hosted the Super Bowl, ever played in the Super Bowl that it's hosting. Never happened before. As a matter of fact, and Vikings fans, if you are prone to looking for bad omens, maybe now would be a time to put your fingers in your ears and go, na 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 na, and not listen. Only 7 times in the history of the Super Bowl has a team that's hosting the Super Bowl that year made the playoffs. None of those 7 teams advanced to the championship. So it usually is a bad sign for this. Now, that being said, our pal who covers the Minnesota Vikings for the Star Tribune, Ben Gessling, formerly at ESPN, and this is the reason why I wanted to talk about this today. I came across this article last night that he wrote for the Star Tribune, and I found this interesting. I thought maybe NFL fans would as well. The NFC team is designated as the road team for the Super Bowl this year. But if the Vikings get to the Super Bowl, the NFL is going to rearrange the accommodations. Because the AFC team is set to train at the Vikings complex.
Yeah, that wouldn't make much sense.
And the NFC team is going to be training at the University of Minnesota football facility. PJ Fleck and the Gophers, row the boat, all that good stuff. They also, the NFL has said that if the Vikings get to the Super Bowl, they will have the option of not staying at the NFC hotel and staying at home, sleeping in their own beds. And a couple other things here that we've never seen this before, but how big of an advantage would that be for the Vikings if they get to the Super Bowl? The comfort level, they're not only are they playing in their own stadium, but they're possibly sleeping in their own beds, and they're practicing all week in an environment that they're extremely comfortable in.
I think it would be an advantage in some aspects, but could you imagine how big of a distraction that would be at the same time?
They would also get to use their own locker room. Now, the home locker room, the Vikings locker room, is supposed to belong to the AFC this year. But if the Vikings are in the Super Bowl, the NFL would make an exception, and then the Vikings could remain in their locker. I just, granted, this is something that we've never seen before, and knowing the history of the Vikings, we may not see it this year. Vikings fans, I'm sorry, I'm just calling a spade a spade. I'm going to commit blasphemy here as a Packers fan. I'm going to admit that I am openly rooting for the Minnesota Vikings to get to the Super Bowl. And I think I'm rooting for the Vikings to win the Super Bowl this year. I think the Packers are out of, they were terrible this year. Mike McCarthy's coming back. I'm so over this year. My wife is a Patriots fan. I've watched the Patriots win enough, including last year, the epic comeback against the Falcons in the Super Bowl. I would like to see the Vikings' angst come to an end this year. I really would. This is not a setup. There's no payoff at the end. I'm not going to come and kick you in the balls verbally, Vikings fans. I'm not Lucy pulling the football away from you, Charlie Brown, the listener. It's January 4th, 2018, and I am here to tell you that I am openly rooting for the Vikings to not only play in the Super Bowl, but win the damn thing.
So
you're welcome.
I'm having a hard time imagining this situation, Todd.
Oh, Cajun Troy on the text line.
I
Vikings will make the Super Bowl and lose on a missed field goal.
The Vikings, through all this, all these years of finding ways to lose playoff games and the injuries that they've suffered the last couple of years and the teams that they had, the 1998 team that was by far the best team in the NFL and lost to the Atlanta Falcons in the NFC Championship. You're telling me that Case Keenum is going to lead the Minnesota Vikings to a Super Bowl championship on their home field, something that's never happened before. Oh, that's I agree. I hope that it happens because it would be mass chaos, but I am having a very difficult time imagining this scenario.
They carry Pat Shurmur off the field, the Vikings offensive coordinator, and put him right on a shuttle for Chicago, and he's the new head coach of the Chicago Bears. Vikings fans, we're going to revisit this here in the next week or so, because there's not much to talk about with the Vikings right now. They don't play this weekend. But are you tempering your expectations? 319-366-1600. You think Anderson's field goal, Walsh's field goal, all of the history, 0-4, and you're hosting the Super Bowl. I mean, it's too easy, right, to get your hopes up for this one. But I thought that was interesting and good on Ben Gessling for writing a story that I think maybe didn't dawn on anybody else. But he's got the history in there. As we mentioned, seven teams have made the playoffs in a year where the Super Bowl is in their home stadium, including the Texans last year. None of those seven have even advanced to a conference championship game. Four of those teams lost in the divisional round, including the Texans last year, the most recent team before that, the 1998 Dolphins. The Dolphins are on here three times. Miami is a popular Super Bowl destination and has been throughout the 52-year event history. This is very fascinating to me. All of the things that go into a city hosting the Super Bowl while also having a team participating in the playoffs and how that affects everything down to ticket revenue.
Yeah, I was going to say, how will they split up the ticket allotments? Because I know season ticket holders of teams get not necessarily first crack, but they have to spend a lot of money to get tickets to the Super Bowl. But there's a way for season ticket holders of certain teams to shell out that cash to get first crack at tickets. And how much would they sell to the Minnesota Vikings fans?
Well, here's the deal. Super Bowl tickets are always hard to come by. They're always extremely expensive. But do they suddenly become more affordable when you don't have to buy airfare and you don't have to pay for a hotel because you live in Minneapolis or St. Paul or Eden Prairie or some other burg in Minnesota? I mean, you take all of that into account, and it could actually be a little bit of a home field advantage for the Vikings if they get there. Each team gets 20% of the tickets, with the league retaining 25.2% of the tickets and 34.8% distributed to the 29 teams that are not playing or hosting the game. In 1998, they passed a resolution requiring each team to receive the same number of tickets for the game. So the Vikings are going to have the same number of tickets to the game to utilize for sale as the AFC team will. So there's no home field advantage when it comes to ticket sales. But on the secondary market, you've got to figure most people getting those tickets would probably be Vikings fans at that point.
Well, absolutely, because you don't factor in the travel and you don't have to pay for a hotel and everything that usually goes in to shelling out that kind of money on a Super Bowl trip. So it would be mostly Vikings fans, and they would buy those tickets on the secondary market. But I do think that would be a big-time advantage, just like you said, for the familiarity of being in your own facility. I do think that they would stay at a hotel all week, though. I think that that is part of the Super Bowl trip. It's part of kind of keeping everybody together, keeping everyone focused. And that is always an interesting thing, as I found out last week, where you have a team in their own town that feels like they're kind of secluded from their own hometown. That can get a little bit tricky as well.
Things are not going Iowa's way at Carver-Hawkeye Arena right now. We will give you an update when we return after this. Kyle's going to have your final Midwest One Bank Big Board update of the day, and then we will set the tone for what should be a really great Friday edition of the program. It's been a long time since I've looked forward to a Friday show with as much gusto as I am looking forward to tomorrow's. Back with more of the Todd Bromelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn after this.
When the game is on the line, you put the ball in the hands of your best player because they always perform under pressure. And at Valvoline, we too believe performance comes from hands-on expertise. That's why we created Valvoline Full Synthetic, specially formulated to provide maximum engine protection against friction and wear. So when performance counts, put your engine in the right hands. Valvoline, 150 years under the hood. Visit AutoZone now and buy 5 quarts of Valvoline Full Synthetic and an oil filter starting at $29.99. See store for restrictions and details.
Get out of the cold and warm up with some Hot Stove Baseball. The Cedar Rapids Colonels will host the 22nd annual Hot Stove Banquet Wednesday, January 17th at the East Bank Venue and Lounge in downtown Cedar Rapids. Enjoy dinner, a silent auction, and a special visit from the Minnesota Twins Winter Caravan, featuring former Colonels and current Twins Mitch Garver and Zach Granite, along with radio broadcaster Chris Atterbury. Tickets are $45 and all proceeds benefit the Colonels Take the Lead Community Initiative Program and the Colonels Foundation. Get your tickets now at colonels.com.
Tune in to KGYM Fridays during the gym class for the announcement of our Athlete of the Week. Proudly brought to you by Sheet Metal Workers Local 263 of Eastern and Central Iowa.
Welcome back in the final couple minutes of the program tonight. Don't forget, if you missed anything, including our chat with Drake men's basketball coach Nico Medved, the podcast will be available shortly for you at KGYMradio.com. You can listen to us on any one of our three frequencies, 106.3 in Iowa City, 107.5 in Cedar Rapids, or 1600 AM, which you can catch across eastern Iowa. Also streaming online, KGYMradio.com, or through our very own app. You can download it in the Google Play or iTunes store. I understand there are a number of other apps that you can use to listen to the radio as well, but we can't guarantee that those apps will work. We are very confident in our own app, though. So it's free. Download it, KGYMradio.com, yada, 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 the whole nine yards. Here for his final Midwest One Bank Big Board update of the day, including an update on the Iowa men and women's basketball teams, here's Kyle.
The Iowa basketball teams hosting Ohio State tonight, trying to look better than they did against Michigan on Tuesday. The Buckeyes come into the game at 11-4 and 2-0 in the Big Ten, whereas the Hawkeyes sit at 9-7 and already 0-3 in the conference. Vegas has Ohio State as a 1.5-point favorite, and it's going to be way more than that if things go as they are. It's not going very well. Iowa trails 46-32 at halftime. The Hawkeyes have once again allowed its opponent to shoot over 50% from the floor. The Buckeyes are shooting 54.5%. Megan Gustafson couldn't power the Iowa women to a second upset over a ranked team tonight. Iowa fell 80-64 on the road at number 13, Maryland. They're feeling the impact of losing their starting backcourt. Iowa committed 23 turnovers to the Terrapins 7. The Iowa State women had a tough matchup last night on the road against number 6, Baylor. The Bears are pretty tough. They beat the Cyclones by 40, 89-49 after leading 52-16 at halftime. Bridget Carlton led Iowa State with 15 points. She'll try to help them bounce back in another tough draw at number 12, West Virginia on Sunday. Tonight after the show, we're going to have the UNI men on the road at Missouri State in a situation they maybe didn't expect to be in. Also still searching for their first conference win. We're going to pick up coverage at 7:30 on 106.3 FM, the South Gym, and 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
Go Hawks.
The tweets I'm seeing from the beat reporters are not flattering.
What do we got?
Jeremiah Davis earlier compared the game to the Purdue football game.
Okay.
And Chad Lystico says, we're to the point in the season where I'm turning to the Todd Licklider years in the Iowa Media Guide to make comparisons.
That's usually not something that you want to have said about your program. Now, is it coming up on tomorrow's show? I'm sure we'll do a post-mortem, a full autopsy, if you will, of Iowa's comeback victory over Ohio State as the Hawkeyes break into the win column. Or we're talking about an 0-4 Iowa basketball team in Big Ten play. I have a feeling I know which direction we're going to be heading. We're going to have on the program tomorrow Megan Gustafson, one of the most decorated Iowa women's basketball players in quite some time. They might as well rename the Big Ten Player of the Week award after her. Unfortunately, we're going to be talking about a loss tonight as the Hawkeyes did fall on the road to Maryland. And then in the 6 o'clock hour, Rob Howe from HawkeyeNation.com and I will catch up with the NFL draft-bound Josh Jackson, announcing earlier this week that he would not be returning to school. Josh Jackson joins us at 6 o'clock tomorrow, and you never know who's going to be on the program or what we're going to be talking about or what audio we may dig up.
We might dig up some audio, and we might have news.
More Frank Serratore audio.
About future guests.
Okay, that's about as good of a tease as I could possibly give. Thanks for listening Thursday, and we hope that you're here with us tomorrow. That's going to do it.